This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة وبعد Our existence on this earth is measured by a set of standards. We see ourselves as successful or as unsuccessful based on a certain set of parameters. Many of us would consider people who are successful to have acquired many things. For example, a person who has acquired a lot of wealth, a person who has acquired a lot of property, a lot of belongings, we see them as default successful because they have acquired a lot. A person who is popular has acquired a lot of friendships, a lot of social relationships, and because of that, we call them popular, a celebrity. Has acquired a lot of recognition, and because people recognize them when they see them, we deem that person as successful. So it's no secret that when we think about what it means to be successful, we oftentimes measure success by the numbers, by the books, and we look and we have simply made the equation in our mind that if a person has a lot of something, it means that they are successful. Now, one of the beautiful things about Islam, the Quran, and the life of the Prophet is that when we take time to read it and we see the messaging that Allah sends down through His Prophet in the scripture as well as in his behavior, in his modeling, we see that the Prophet ﷺ, not only does he correct our understanding in a way that, you know, turns it slightly, right, a slight degree or two, there are oftentimes moments where the Qur'an or the life of the Prophet ﷺ, by his example, will flip our understanding directly on its head. An example of this was in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a predominant Jahili understanding of race, that people of the Arab tribal system saw anybody who was from Africa as being worth less than them. And when the Prophet ﷺ lived and saw and grew up in this, when he finally was given the chance to make a decision about who goes where and which position would be occupied by which person, the Prophet ﷺ did not hesitate to put Bilal radiallahu anhu, an African former slave, to be the muezzin of not only his masjid, but when the Muslims had finally entered into Mecca and had made their pilgrimage, he instructed Bilal to ascend on top of the Kaaba and call the adhan. Because the Prophet ﷺ saw the incorrect understanding, and instead of making a slight adjustment to this really incorrect disposition, he said, no, we're going to flip this completely to teach people what the truth teaches us. And so when you see our understanding of success being so far off what Allah and His Messenger have taught us, and when we look back at the Quran and at the Sunnah of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we see that not only is the acquisition of things not deemed as successful, not only is it if a person has a lot, it is not necessarily successful, but in fact, Allah tells us that getting more is a liability. Achieving more means that we'll be asked more about what we've achieved. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَادِرُ. Allah in the Quran, He says, you are going to be distractedly destroyed by your obsession with acquiring more and more. Hatta zurtum al-maqabir. And you're going to be obsessed with this until you visit the graves, meaning until you die. And so Allah is telling us here that we have this inclination. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. He says, you love money. You love it with an almost unnatural type of love, right? And they've done studies that show that when people even see pictures of dollars, they get happy. Their mind releases the happiness, right, chemical. So subhanAllah, this is something that's deeply ingrained within us. It's a vulnerability, and then society, right, marketing and things like that have really taken advantage of that. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. Whatever is little but takes care of you is infinitely better than that which is in abundance, but it is something that distracts you, or deters you, or pushes you away. So we hear these narrations, we hear these verses, and we understand it mentally, we understand it logically, that you know what? Living a life of contentment, living a life of simplicity, living a life of having moderate expectations is in fact truly the prophetic way. And it is the happier way. And as someone famously said, with more money, there are more problems. And so I don't want to have that. But subhanAllah, the heart is where everything resides in terms of integrating that knowledge into action. So while we could all talk about the benefits of being simple and being humble and being modest in our aspirations and being content with Allah at all times, the heart wants more than that. And so today's khutbah, I wanted to speak about how this philosophical principle of seeking more, is something that will absolutely destroy us from within. Now, we know that economically, right, this is the reason why people struggle maybe financially sometimes, because they spend more than they have. We know that socially, this is the reason why people burn out, because they give more than they have, right? They commit to more than they can. But what about religiously? What about spiritually? Yes, this same principle has made its way into our understanding of what religion means and how we practice religion. We think that if we simply just do more, then that will be what will give us success on the Day of Judgment. But what we find, subhanAllah, are many narrations from the Prophet ﷺ and many stories and examples where you have individuals that did very little in terms of the measurable quantity of the deed, but the quality of the deed was so heavy and so substantive that the reward that was prescribed for that deed was absolutely mind-blowing. And we'll share some of those stories. But before we begin, the verse that I quoted in the khutbah, a verse from Surah Al-Bayyinah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the sequence of how to understand how to structure a good deed. And He teaches us the prioritization of doing a good deed. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Allah says that these messengers that were sent were commanded to do nothing more than to worship Allah in a sincere way. حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ Sincerely, devotedly, prayer and charity. Now we know that prayer and charity inarguably are some beautiful deeds. When we get together, we pray. When we raise money, we give charity. We think that these are the deeds that are going to take us to heaven, inshallah. But what we fail to realize is that in the ayah itself, Allah mentioned that each of these deeds, prayer and charity and everything else, has a qualifier. And that qualifier is what? مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ Ikhlas. Sincerity. So before we actually stand up to say Allahu Akbar, it would actually benefit us to say, who am I actually even praying to? Before I write the check for a donation, it would actually benefit us to say, what am I donating this for? And if my heart and my action are not aligned, if I'm writing the check for a donation, but all my heart is thinking about is the tax exemption, if I'm standing up to pray, but all my heart is thinking about is, I can't wait to be done with this to keep go back to the playoffs, or go back to dinner, or go back to the wedding, then my heart is not aligned and my deed is not مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. The sign that I'm sincere for Allah is that I understand the value of that deed and I'm less focused about finishing it and more focused about actually partaking in it. May Allah Ta'ala give us sincerity. So before Allah mentions the value of the deeds itself, He mentions what puts value in them is the sincerity that we have. I want you to think about this. The Prophet ﷺ, right before the believers were making hijrah from Mecca to Medina, it's an incredible story, the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, leaving everything that they've known, leaving their hometowns, leaving their property, their wealth. It was not easy. You know, sometimes we think of hijrah and we think of like almost a story, like a fairy tale, that it was something very easy, it was direct, it was simple. No, it was financially difficult. It required sacrifice. It required a lot of question, a lot of confusion. Anyone in here who's ever moved before, you know that when you move, even if everything looks good, you still have this anxiety. Now imagine if you have no idea what the future will be. You don't know what the new city is like. You've only heard bad things. You haven't heard anything reliable. You don't want to leave your hometown, but you still have to move. Now, it would be safe to assume that anybody who is going to make hijrah would absolutely be sincere. Any person who's leaving Mecca to go to Medina with the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they're going to be sincere. That's a safe assumption for us to make. However, the Prophet, he gathered everybody and he address them before making this major move, this major migration, which required so much sacrifice. And he says to them what? Very famously, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Every action that you do is only made possible and is only accepted and deemed worthy by the intention that occupies the soul of the action itself. Why would the Prophet ﷺ stand before a group of people that have pledged their lives to him, that have pledged everything they have, that have sacrificed, that their backs are facing all of their net worth, every asset they own is behind them, and they are about to embark on taking their first steps towards a new life of which they know nothing about the certainty of success there, but he still, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, found it appropriate and perfect to tell them at that moment, you have to be sincere. Brothers and sisters, the scholars say when they comment on this hadith, because sincerity is the toughest thing to guarantee. Sincerity is the thing that nobody else can see besides God, besides Allah. We can all appear to be a certain way, we can all present ourselves in a certain way, but it's only Allah who truly knows who we are, why we do what we do, and why we say what we say. And so the Prophet of God is reminding his companions that while you may, on the outside, be making hijrah with us, he's saying, I know and you know that there are other reasons. And in that narration, he talks about them. He says, whoever is migrating to get married, then you're going to get married. Whoever is migrating to do some business, then you're going to do business. But whoever migrates for Allah and His Messenger, they have migrated for Allah and His Messenger. And what that means is on the Day of Judgment, when they are called by the people who migrated for Allah and His Messenger, not everybody who did it will be able to stand up. Not everybody who did it will be able to stand and receive that honor because their intention may have not been there. May Allah give us a sincere intention. This is why Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, when he talks about the way in which Allah measures deeds on the Day of Judgment, Allah uses the word al-mizan. He uses the concept of a scale. And it's interesting because in the world where we count things, scales are useless. But in a world where we weigh things, counting is useless. And if we're convinced that counting something means that we're successful, but Allah is telling us, no, we're going to weigh your good deeds. What Imam al-Ghazali says is, don't worry about the amount of good deeds, worry about the weight of them. And worry about whether or not the good deed that you did was substantive enough, was filled enough to be heavy on the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters, I ask you one question. Filled with what? With sincerity for Allah. You see, there can be things that are very large in their size or very many in their amount, but they're very light on the scale. Meanwhile, the Prophet ﷺ uses this metaphor when he says, there are two words which are light on the tongue, خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى الْلِسَانِ, but they are very heavy on the scale, ثَقِيلَتَانِ عَلَى الْمِيزَانِ. And he says they are what? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Why did he say the metaphor? Because he wants to teach us that something that is so simple as three or four words that takes you 5 seconds to say while you're driving or while you're putting your kids to sleep or while you're getting ready for work in the morning, these words that you may very well forget you ever even said them, Allah Ta'ala does not forget that you said them. And on the Day of Judgment, when you're standing and looking at your deeds being measured, you're not looking at the words you said being counted, you're watching them being weighed. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says, for the person who says them with a heart that is full and a heart that is focused, on the Day of Judgment, they will be pleasantly surprised by the weight that it adds to their good scale. May Allah Ta'ala give us a good day on that day. So how do we have sincere intentions? How do we have sincere intentions? There are a few advices that the scholars give us. And it's hard. It's hard because we live in a world where appearance is everything. We focus so much on what we look like and how we are perceived that we don't give ourselves enough time to focus on what's on the inside. And we end up becoming, may Allah protect us, like the shiny red apple with the rotten core. And no one wants to be like that on the Day of Judgment. So how do we really focus on achieving ikhlas? Number one, the scholars advise and they say that one of the ways in which a person can develop sincerity is to try to find Allah in the mundane moments of life. You know, everybody can remember Allah when times are really good and times are really bad. When something is extremely, right, has a lot of providence, and when something is extremely challenging. We remember Allah, we're forced to remember Allah, because those times remind us of the miraculous nature and the presence of Allah in our life. But the everyday moment is when it's difficult for us to remember Allah. When you're putting your kids to bed, do you make as much dua for them then as you did to have a kid in the first place? When you're looking at your spouse on a Wednesday night, do you make as much dua for them then and thank Allah as much for them then as you did when you were hoping to get married to them? When you're going into work on a Tuesday morning, do you thank Allah as much then as you did when you were begging Allah for the interview for a job? The mundane moments, one of the challenges of the mundane is exactly that. It's mundane, it's not special. But believers believe that we can make those moments special by remembering Allah whenever we can. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked to Mu'adh bin Jabal, he said what? Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Remember Allah and be conscious of Him wherever you are. Why? Because that is what will separate you as a person. What will separate you from a mediocre believer to make you an incredible believer is that the believer who is incredible is able to see Allah in everything. The believer that is just hanging on by a thread only sees Allah in the miraculous moments. But guess what? Everybody sees miracles. But who can see the miracle in the mundane? That's what makes a person special. May Allah Ta'ala give us this. What are the first words that come out of your mouth in a time of happiness or sadness? Does that reflect Allah or does it reflect myself? If somebody congratulates you or offers you condolences, do you remember Allah or do you remember yourself? The scholars say this is a sign of sincerity. Number two is the gift and the miracle of consistency. You know, one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ had that made him so special was that he was the most consistent person. Predictable, reliable, everybody knew who he was. You know why when he was the age of 40, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the nickname of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin? He was given that nickname not because he was truthful or trustworthy one time, or twice or three times. He was given that nickname of the truthful one and the trustworthy one because for 40 years, he was known as being nothing but truthful and trustworthy. Consistency in and of itself is a miracle. Anybody can do something once or twice, but how many people can do something for 40 years? And all of the signs show us that the people who are able to do things consistently over a long stretch of time are ultimately the most successful people. You know, when you interview these people that we deem as successful in this life, may Allah forgive us, but the dunyawi success of corporate success or fame or this and that, the one thing that they all sort of underline, generally speaking, as what gave them success was their consistency and focus and hard work. And so we see the flashes, we see the highlights, but they say what you don't see is the work that was put in late into the night when no one was watching. That is consistency. And that consistency in faith is even more successful, bears even more fruit than the work that we put in this life. May Allah Ta'ala give us consistency. Number three, for ikhlas, ask yourself one question. Well, really two questions. Number one, am I a good friend? And number two, am I surrounding myself with people who inspire me? The Prophet ﷺ, unmistakably, he advised everybody with deep sincerity that you need to make sure that you look at the people you surround yourself with. And you need to make sure that the people you surround yourself with inspire you and push you to be the best version of yourself. This is why the Prophet ﷺ gave the example of the blacksmith and the perfume seller when he talked about how we spend our time and who we spend it with. Now, we don't have blacksmiths today, and I apologize if this is your industry, but I want you to think of the mechanic. The person who is working on cars and has oil and has soot and grime all over. If you step into a mechanic shop, even if you don't work on the car or do anything that has to do with the work of the car, you could accidentally pick up some smudge or smear on your clothes, or at the very least you walk out and you smell like oil or gas, and then you come back and pick it up. It's not the best of environments for you if you want to remain pure and clean in your appearance and in your smell. But the example the Prophet ﷺ gave of the other side, being around good people, is that of a perfume seller. That you might be in it with them, selling perfume, trying it out, this and that. You might be at least enjoying the fragrances, or at the very least, when you walk out of the shop after buying nothing, you at least carry on the smell of beautiful, pure perfume. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that every person in their friendship and who they spend time with is either spending time with a blacksmith or a perfume seller. If you spend time with people who are sincere, you will inevitably start to value sincerity. If you look at somebody and are in awe of how much ikhlas they have and how they're able to be sincere in every relationship with Allah, with their family, with their friends, with their colleagues, their coworkers, even strangers, you will inevitably learn something. But if you and I don't value sincerity in our life, then naturally we're not going to find ourselves being amongst gatherings where sincerity is found. And so looking and making sure that you spend time not only in good company, but in the company of the sincere. Number four is to focus on Allah and not on your actions. And I'll finish with one narration here. There's a beautiful chapter in a book that we've been reading here at Roots on Tuesdays by Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. And the chapter is very beautiful. The chapter is called Small Deeds That Lead to Great Rewards. And the whole thesis behind the chapter is there are some deeds that on the front, they look very small and insignificant. But on the Day of Judgment side, on the afterlife side, they are going to be incredible, magnificent. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day, it's narrated that he finished his prayer and he turned around to face everybody and he said to them, I want everyone to listen closely. He said this to his companions. So they all paid attention. And he said, there are people that Allah has created, special people. And he says, they are people who the prophets and the martyrs even envy them. They are very unique status with Allah. So everybody starts to think to themselves, wow, what an incredible person. And they all start measuring the same way that we measure, which is what? Who are they? They must be very well known. They must be very famous, because if they are the object of envy, then of course we must all know who they are. The Prophet answers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that question immediately, and he says, they are completely anonymous. He says, they're so anonymous that their tribe is unknown. Are you with me? Their tribe is unknown. You know what that's like? Moving to a new city and nobody even recognizes your last name. Nobody even assumes. You know, you move to a city and you can say, oh, I'm this or I'm that. I have a cousin here. I have an uncle there. And even by association, even by rough association, you're welcomed in. Now, I want you to imagine somebody who moves to the community, has no association, completely unrecognizable. You could pray at the masjid for 5 days and leave and not even know if they were there or not. The Prophet ﷺ says, this person is so close to Allah that the prophets are intrigued by him or her. And then he finished his statement there. So the companions, they were all shy, and they typically did not like to dive too much into things, but a Bedouin was there. And so this Bedouin man, he says, Ya Rasulullah. And he says, as soon as the Bedouin looked up, all the companions were like, yes. Because the Bedouins were a little bit more aggressive in their questioning. So while Umar and Abu Bakr and the ones who were used to were very humble, radiallahu anhu, they didn't want to ask. The Bedouin was like, I'm going to ask. So he got up and he asked. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, wait, let me get this straight. There are people who are completely unknown, totally unknown, not recognizable, not rememberable, completely obscure. And they are close to Allah in a way that the prophets and martyrs are intrigued by them? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. The Bedouin says, so tell me about them. Again, shameless. The Prophet ﷺ said, their reward, listen to this, on the Day of Judgment is that they will be given thrones of light. On the day when there's no light and there's no relief, they will be given light. The Bedouin says, what did they do to earn this? The Prophet of Allah, he said, when they came to the gatherings at the masjid, they stood up next to each other and they lined up for the sake of Allah and they prayed for the sake of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them for that sincerity. Now, if I told you the entire story but I left that good deed out, and then I asked everybody here, what do you think the good deed they did was? Everyone would come up with the most incredible good deed. But what is about a person that walks into a masjid, lines up, prays, and leaves is that their sincerity is undeniable. They come and they line up, They're not here for business. They're not here for social posturing. They're not here for any other reason. They're here to pray and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A following narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he describes these people even further. And he says that these people have earned the love of Allah. He says, حَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي. Allah says, لَلَّذِينَ يَتَحَابُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Why did they come to the masjid? Because they love each other for my sake. There's nothing that they need to have in between them except for the love of one another. Well, he says, وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَزَاوَرُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And these people have earned my love because they would visit each other for my sake. They would stop by someone's house, say salam, maybe drop off a little something, just for my sake alone. He says, وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَنَاصَرُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. My love has been mandated upon people that have helped one another just for my sake. It's not trading favors, not I owe you one. Hey, I'm going to help you today. Can you help me tomorrow? No. يَتَنَاصَرُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. For my sake alone. وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَصَافُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He says, and there are those who earned my love, who will be given my love because they were sincere with each other for my sake. And then he says, وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَبَاذَلُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And ultimately, there are those who sacrificed for my sake. Again, when you look at the list, brothers and sisters, it's not an incredible amount of raka'at that were prayed. It's not an incredible dollar amount that was given. It's not an incredible amount of days that were fasted. It is the presence of sincerity in the deeds that they did that gave them presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah ta'ala to make us sincere and to give us the gift of sincerity and to give us the ability to be sincere in everything that we do, whether that deed be large or small. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten your rows, inshallah, fill in the gaps as best as you can. Pray this prayer as if it's your last prayer. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى
إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. بسم الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله السلام.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody, may Allah Ta'ala accept from us our prayers, inshallah, and give us the ability to act upon what we said and heard. We have a few announcements for the.